Good afternoon, Wisconsin. Welcome to WFHR's Playmakers. Afternoon, everybody. Happy Monday to you. Your host, James, here behind the mic. I'm joined by my partner in sports, Mr. Randy Paul. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. What makes it even happier is it's almost over.
It's almost.
Always made it through Monday.
Yes.
And January.
You're right. That's a twofer. We've got the sun going down in front of us, and it's a beautiful sunset. And you're absolutely right, man. We are wrapping things up. We're going to have some fun today. We'll certainly talk Super Bowl. It is mandatory. We have to. We will talk a little bit about that. I've got some new notes from the NFL that we'll touch on as well. Got a couple of my own notes, actually, from the weekend that I want to talk about, including the next biopic I want, Randy. I want the next sports biopic. I have it. We have it. We all have it, and it's for the betterment of all of us. We'll get into some of that. But about 5:20-ish, Randy will give us his sports notes from the local sports. We'll go to our break. When we come back, Laura's going to join us. She was at the powerlifting meet over the weekend, and she's going to cover some of that for us. So I'm looking forward to it. So we'll stick with the local coverage throughout the commercial break, come back and do that. We'll get into our schedule. And, of course, most importantly, take your phone calls, 715-424-2600. We are wide open. Hit us in the numbers. We would love to hear from every one of you. Randy, over the weekend, I went down about multiple rabbit holes looking at Bob Uecker interviews, Bob Uecker great calls, some classics, just beautiful. And I will be honest with the audience, part of the reason I was doing it was nostalgia. And just wanted to relive a legend. And also, I have spent my whole life learning from this man.
So were you inside or were you just a bit outside?
I was a little bit outside. A little bit. Now, there are a billion clips I could play that I think would be great. But I came across one in particular that just really stood out that I've watched three times now. And I just can't get enough of it. It is just a minute long. It's actually a hair under a minute long. And this is Bob Uecker giving tips to Hank Aaron.
Oh.
So just go ahead and take a listen to this, everybody.
Oh, there we go.
Hank and I had a great relationship, and we still do. He's really one of my very, very good friends. And I tried to, little things that I did better than Hank. I wasn't one of those guys, Jane, that would say, hey, I'm going to keep this a secret. You know, I'd go up and tell people like Henry, Eddie Matthews, Warren Spahn. I mean, you know, those types of people. I would give them tips. And it worked for Hank.
But, you know, he and I would often talk on the bus. And he said, Hank, if you only knew how to hit the curveball, if you could just sit back and wait for the fastball, he said, I could teach you all these things, but you won't listen to me. And I'm glad that I didn't.
Oh, classic you. And, well, you know the story with Hank. I mean, he's gone on to bigger and better things.
My grandson was telling me about one video clip he saw where when he was playing with the Cardinals, Bob Gibson's pitching and he's catching. So he goes out towards the mound and Gibson goes like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And he said, I'm going to talk to the center fielder.
Yeah. one of the earliest and most famous stories that I heard, because when I was a kid, I didn't know Bob Gibson that well. All I knew about Bob Gibson is my papa, my dad talking about how intimidating this guy was. Not necessarily how great he was or anything. And that's the only image I had of Bob Gibson. And I'm listening to a Brewer Cub game, I think, and Uecker is calling it. And my papa is laughing at this story before Euchre's even finished. Because it's him going up, like him, the manager was saying, I want this. Euchre's sending it through, but Gibson's not doing it. So they call a timeout. Everybody comes to the mound. And the manager's looking at Uecker like, what are you doing? Here I'm calling this, and he's like, that's Bob Gibson. You go ahead, you tell him.
Yeah.
You tell him what you want. I'm not telling him what to do. There's so many, and this clip, what is lost in the clip audio wise is Uecker is telling this story about Hank Aaron, and if this reporter doesn't know better, she's eating all of this up, because he's doing it as straight laced as you can. That the thing I think we forget about Uecker is, what are the greatest straight men of all time? Like Leslie Nielsen style, like of just straight comedy, able to deliver these lines. I teach this for a living, Randy, and I could never teach another human being to do what Bob Uecker was able to do.
Whenever you saw him on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, he sat like that too. He just sat there so stoically, you know, never cracked a smile. Yes. Johnny's just roaring off the desk.
And I do use this as a tie-in to talk a little bit about the Brewers. For those that have not heard, it does sound like they're going to have a patch on their jerseys throughout the year, and I think it's going to be going forward. I think this is going to be like not just for this season, but it's going to stay on the uniform, I believe. I'm not 100% on that. I don't even know if they are, to be honest. I'm not sure if they've thought past this year, but here's hoping they keep it on there. Here's hoping that they're in fact, here's knowing. I feel confident saying that's an organization I feel pretty comfortable saying they're going to do right by this guy's legacy.
Wouldn't you love to see if they could ask Uecker what he would like on that patch? That would have been hilarious.
Just to hear the answers. Yeah. Just to hear the answers from what he would have to say.
His batting average.
Randy, we haven't gotten to hang out since the passing of Mr. Uecker and everything. I talk about me learning from him and growing from him as somebody who wanted to do voice acting, as somebody who wanted to be an actor, an entertainer. Never dreamed of being in radio, let alone once I got in radio. He was one of the first voices I would listen to and I would try to learn from. His pace, especially. But I can't imagine, as an announcer, what he might have meant for you.
Well, you know, I think back to when he first started at 71, I'm like 13 years old, and we had transistor radios back then. You'd take it to bed with you, and you'd listen to Uecker call games. The one thing that I would always get so frustrated, I would go tell my father the next morning, man, the Brewers are coming back, and all of a sudden there's a drive to left field and deep, you know, and he's calling it back. It's got a chance to go. Oh, they caught it at the wall. And you just go, oh, no. So disappointing, but he just had a great way of building those things up. I remember one time, I did a doubleheader for Assumption and Wisconsin Rapids. And I think I was at Witterfield for 7.5 hours. So that was a long time to do two broadcasts after a day at school.
It's a heck of a game.
And so I remember because some things were going slowly, you know, and so you've got to fill time if you're sitting there by yourself. So, of course, you start thinking about Uecker and what would he do. So, you know, so I'm talking about, well, last week here I was up on my roof and I'm cleaning out my gutters. Right, here's the pitch. Oh, it's a bit outside. It gets past the catcher all the way to the wall. So he goes back and he picks it up. He throws it back to, oh, it gets past the pitcher, out past the second baseman. Center fielder's got it. He throws it to the side. Oh, and so there I am on my ladder.
Right.
So you go back and forth between the stories just like, you know, because you learn that from Uecker, you know, because if you got time to kill, you got to start telling stories.
I love that. Thank you for that. You know, here's something I hadn't thought about until hearing you talk about this. He opened the door for this. He made this okay in announcing. It's not like a lot of guys were doing what he was doing. Now, Vin Scully famously was the greatest to ever be able to go from talking about a guy. He could be talking about the president of the United States, and you were still caught up on balls and strikes and all that. There's never a better at it. And I mean in that no disrespect to Bob Uecker or any other announcer for that matter, just in the sense that I've never heard anybody say there's ever been any better than Vin Scully. And from what I heard, I've never heard anybody as good at it. It's so, like, it was... I feel like if you had told me there was an editor in there editing Vin Scully live on the air, I would have believed that more than that man by himself was able to do that. That's just incredible. Vin Scully opened the door for a lot of these things. Uecker made it personal. Made it human sounding. Vin Scully, as much as I love him, as much as all of us will admit he is the GOAT and all that, I think we'd all also admit that Vin Scully sounded a little, not robotic, but a little bit kind of like, just this is what a professional broadcaster should sound like and all those things. And I say that with respect. I say that with adoration. Uecker sounded like he was in the room with us while also doing all the things Scully did. You know, that's an art in itself. Both of them, there's no better or worse here. It's just both of them were great at this in their own way. They made it their own. Uecker wasn't trying to put on airs. Uecker wasn't trying to do anything. He was being Bob. That's who he was. I'm sure Vin Scully was doing a very similar thing while also coming from a different era of, this is how a broadcaster sounds. I'm going to sound like that. I feel like Uecker opened a door for so many other people that could do this for a living that may have not thought of it otherwise, and a whole different way of doing it where, you know what? This is baseball. We play 162 of these. It's serious. Let's not take it too serious. Right. We're playing a kid's game here. We're playing a game that we all played when we were 8 years old.
And to think about, right, how he would weave in stories, you know, that either happened, you know, in his career, what he saw when he broadcast, or just from his life, right? And wouldn't you what percentage would you say, 90-95% of those stories that he would tell had humor to them?
Yeah.
Not a whole lot of them were really serious. And then you think back how, you know, over his long career since 71, and you think, I don't ever remember sitting there saying to myself, I heard that story before.
Yeah.
You know, it seemed like he had a different story all the time, and I'm sure he had to repeat in all those years a story or two, right? But it was amazing that he could always just call upon his recollection of those different things.
I wonder, though. You know what? If somebody had told me he never repeated the story, I would believe him. Mm. I would believe that stat. I had a stat the other day, that my stat of the show, that Uecker called 2.8% of all baseball games, like in history. Like, that's how long he had been doing it.
Oh, my goodness.
Just incredible. And I would say, to your point, Randy, it's something that I've incorporated, actually, in our morning show. It started really from an early conversation with Carl when we first started doing the show, but it really stems from a lot of Paul Harvey and growing up on that, The Daily Show with Jon Stewart and The Moment of Zen, and Bob Uecker's stories. No matter what was going on in the middle of that story, in the heart of that story, it wrapped up with a laugh. It wrapped up with a joke. And every morning show I've ever done, we end with a positive story or a good story. No matter what's going on in the heart of the show or anything like that, we wrap up on a laugh. We wrap up on a good joke or something like that. Do it the same thing with our politicians when we interview them. It really, that's not mine. That's me stealing that between you and I, Randy, from these guys that I grew up really idolizing, really being influenced by. Not idolizing, but really being influenced by. My father would want me to correct that. I remember when I was a kid, I told my dad I idolized Robin Williams. Like, Jimmy, that means you want to be him. There's already a Robin. You want to be you. There's a difference. There is no segue talking about missing a legend like that or anything, but I do think he would appreciate and be all right with us shifting gears right away to go to something we don't get to talk about very often, in American tennis. And I just wanted to make sure that we get into the show. A big shout out to Madison Keys.
Yeah.
Winning the Australian Open and breaking through, in her words, to win the Australian Open. It means the world to her, as she said. And not just doing this, but defeating the number one player in the world.
One and two, I believe.
That's right. Thank you. Yes. Yep. Great performance by her. I hope this is a sign of things to come for her. And really just American tennis. I miss American tennis. I miss us. I'm not going to lie. I miss us dominating these sports. And not even just that. I had no problem with the Borg Connor years and those things and stuff. And I like there to be competition. I miss there being like six or seven great American tennis players. And you just never knew which one of them were going to show up and who might have their day and who is better on this turf than another and everything. I feel like I had no idea when I was a kid how spoiled I was with male American tennis players. We've kept representing in female tennis for quite a while, thanks to the Venus and Serena. And I think Serena may not just be the best tennis player I ever saw. She may be the best athlete I've ever seen, Serena Williams, in her prime. I don't know if I've ever seen somebody that dominant at their sport. Not Tiger Woods, not Michael Jordan. I don't think I've ever seen a more dominant athlete than Serena Williams when she was dominating women's tennis. The athlete that she was, the size that she was, let alone when she would go on that court, and I didn't feel like anybody could beat her. I didn't feel like there was. I didn't know if Monica Seles coming back could do it at the time and everything.
I think when you would watch them in their prime, the thing that always stood out to me was how fast their serve was. And now when you watch women's tennis, it's like, boy, those women are really serving at a high rate of speed as well. And so, you know, I think some of the people in the tennis world, you know, it's just improving as evolution goes here. But it is fun. And you know what it reminds me of a little bit? And I'm with you on that. The Olympics.
Yeah.
It's like if you're watching a women's tennis match, you know, mm-hmm. you're like, come on, go for the USA, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Shout out to Madison Keys. That a fantastic open. Got to see that, too. Got to see it. It was great. It was like 3 in the morning or something, but it was great. It was still cool to see. I also wanted to certainly touch on, not the Super Bowl yet. No, we got 2 weeks before that. We got plenty of time to talk Super Bowl. And just in case anybody wonders what Randy and I are thinking about the Super Bowl, there, what was it, a couple of years ago, back when we used to be doing coffee in sports together, we talked about the Super Bowl with the Chiefs and the Eagles. We're just going to replay that for you since it's a rerun. We'll just go ahead and replay that.
It's a good thing we have it on tape.
Yeah, it's a great thing. people. I got to call out the Cowboys. I have to. And I will wholeheartedly admit that I am feeding the machine of the Dallas Cowboys by talking about the Dallas Cowboys. When we're talking about a team that didn't even make the playoffs and that hasn't really been relevant winning-wise in 2 decades, we're just feeding the machine. But I have a couple of friends that are Cowboy fans, and we have some listeners down in the Texas area and everything, and I think that it's a noteworthy team to cover, and also the regard of it's one of the few things where we as Packer and Bear fan and Viking fan and Lion fan, we can all agree we all dislike the Cowboys. You know, right. We all come together on this. Yes. One. I don't believe I've ever seen a more funny. I don't know if I've ever seen this where a team this high profile. You could make the argument the most high profile American team is the Dallas Cowboys, especially with as big as the NFL is, doing a Friday news dump with their new head coach. That's wild, man. That's they went from, hey, we're interviewing Dion, look what we might do, and all this, to, yeah, we hired. Wait, what was that? Who did you hire as your new head coach? We hired. They're just hiding, like, they just wanted, hopefully, everybody, nobody really paid attention to this or anything. And the 2025 season starts, and like, who's the Cowboys coach again? That's wild, especially with a team that is so tailor-made to win. Like, say what you want about the Dallas Cowboys. They've done a lot of the things that we ask NFL teams to do. They grew talent, they kept it, paid it, and have some pretty reasonable talent whenever it comes to that. I don't believe anybody would turn down having Mike and Parsons on their team, having CeeDee Lamb on their team. You know, when he was playing at a high clip, Dak Prescott.
A lot of people would take him, right?
Yeah, yeah. They've built a decent team over there. I'm not saying they could win a playoff game, let alone a Super Bowl, but they built a decent team. You know that owner is usually willing to spend money. But here's my thing, because I say that, but I'm thinking of old Jerry. I'm thinking of old Jerry. If I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan, it has never been more evident to me that Jerry Jones is more interested in finishing in the black than winning a Super Bowl. And I believe this has been the case for decades. This isn't new. It's decades. I'm late to this. I got on this last year. When they didn't sign Derrick Henry, it was clear to me. And it has never been more clear than right now. What is the cheaper thing? I used to think it was about having a puppet. But then I kept thinking, like, well, wait a minute. He hired Bill Parcells. Why would he do it? Wait a minute. Nope. Nah. It's about making sure that the Dallas Cowboys are the number one covered team in all of American sports. And it is making sure that they finish in the black. And how do you do that in business? You hire family, you hire people at a small clip, at a small paycheck that haven't had experience before, so they're not going to demand a contract like a Bill Parcells would, or I mean, not a Bill, Bill Belichick or Pete Carroll or somebody like that. That you have a ready-made team and you would bring in a veteran coach. That's what almost every other 32 teams would do. Nah, Jerry Jones could be on a lie detector. And you ask him, hey, do you want to win a Super Bowl or do you want to finish in the black more? And I wouldn't believe what comes up. There's nothing that man says I would believe. And if you want proof of this, look up a clip of Jerry Jones guest spotting in the TV show Landman. Good show. I've only seen a little bit of it, but Billy Bob Thornton, John Hamm, it's all about oil in Texas and everything. Not a bad show. I don't have time, so I haven't had a chance to watch it. But Jerry Jones showed up on to do a cameo on this, and they had a script for him, and he's like, nah, I got this. And he just off the cuff talked. And it's Emmy caliber stuff, man. It's amazing acting. It's amazing. It's one of the better TV performances you're going to see. One of the better cameos you'll ever see. And it's complete evidence to any Dallas Cowboy fan that this man does not believe a thing he says, and you cannot buy a word he says. Don't believe Jerry Jones. Whatever you do, if you are in a life or death situation and Jerry Jones is there, God help you, because you cannot believe this man. I can't imagine what it must be like to be a Cowboy fan and have a franchise that is more interested in finishing in the black. Well, wait a minute. I'm a Bear fan. That's right. That's my team, just without the Super Bowls and the pomp and circumstance and everything. Oh, I guess I do. I do relate. I do know what it feels like.
Last year's NFL Man of the Year, Tom Grassi. We sometimes watch his videos and listen to him because he's a big Packer fan, and he'll just, you know, do the games live, and you're listening to him because he's just a hoot. And when they had the Cowboys signing of their new coach, he'll put out videos and have all these different teams, and all it wasn't really. I don't think there were any words. He would just go.
Yeah.
All the different teams. He's rolling back and laughing.
That's fantastic. Goodness. Randy's got to do some work tonight and everything, so I want to get him out of here and save that voice a little bit. Randy, I do appreciate the coverage you have, though, so I want to make some time for that. Real quick, Brian Schottenheimer, who's the Cowboys hired, in case anybody was wondering.
Right.
What do you got for us, Randy?
Well, we have a whole bunch of area sports, and I think Laura's going to bring us a little bit more after our break. Let's start off with the River Kings, as on Friday they came up with a W over the Minnesota Mullets 3-2 as they outshot Minnesota 45-18, and then on Saturday they blanked them 6-0 again, outshooting Minnesota 49-15. Next Friday and Saturday they're going to be at Minnesota. This time it'll be at the Blue Ox.
You're going to come for the King. You best not miss.
You got that right.
That's good.
Last Thursday at D.C. Everest, the Wisconsin Rapids wrestling team won 48-26. I thought this was interesting, James. 6 out of the 9 Raiders victories were all by fall. So
wow.
Dominant right
yeah,
there, right?
Yeah, yeah.
This Thursday, they host Marshfield, and Marshfield and Rapids are tied for first in the Valley at 5-0. Can you believe this? A week from Saturday already, January 8th, the Wisconsin Valley Conference meet at Wausau East at 10 a.m. So you know what that means. That means tournament time for all sports is just around the corner. Let's see what else we've got here when it comes to some local activity. Girls high school basketball, Wisconsin Rapids fell to 5-9 on the season, 3-4 in conference action as they lost at home to Marshfield 70-61. The Lady Raiders traveled to New London tonight. Third-ranked Assumption rolled to an easy road win at Edgar, 65-19. Sarah Shaw paved the way with 16 points, and a schoolie scored 14. Lady Sons de Rosas had 13, and Riley Stubaski added 10. The Royals will have a makeup game at Marathon tonight. As a matter of fact, you could hear it on the WXCO app if you'd like to listen to that ball game. And they will also host 10-6 Rhinelander tomorrow night. Port Edwards lost at Wild Rose 83-22 in girls basketball. Brianna Ingram led the Blackhawks with 10 points. Port heads northeast tonight to face the Hornets of Rosholt. And Nacusa also came up short on the road, 81-12 down in the Dells. Papermakers are home tomorrow evening as they will entertain Marathon, that same squad that's playing Assumption tonight. On the boys' side of the ledger, Wisconsin Rapids put up a good fight against Marshfield on Tuesday, Friday night, but couldn't break into the win column as they fell 69-52. Sean Reynes led the Raiders with 17, while Brody Gilbertson knocked down 12. Lincoln is at home tomorrow night against the Hodags of Rhinelander. Assumption picked up a thrilling 2-point win over Prentice 61-59. Owen Hagen with 18 points, while JT Schlafer and Logan Nystrom had 16 and 11 points respectively for the Royals, who will be at Edgar tomorrow. Port Edwards whipped Wild Rose 78-54. Vinny Striegel, 28 points for the Hawks. Brendan Beck poured in 23, and Josh Trandle had 13 for Port, who is going to entertain Northland Lutheran tonight. Michael and I and Laura will have it for you a little bit over an hour from now or so on our sister station, 105.5 WIRI. And Nacusa came up short at home against the Dells, 57-32. Papermakers will head over to Pittsville to take on the Panthers tomorrow evening. Last Thursday, Wisconsin Rapids won up in Wausau at Marathon Park over the co-op of East and Merrill, 7-3. Rapids outshot East Merrill 61-24. And then on Saturday, the Raiders stopped Sun Prairie 5-3 at the Rec Center. Sun Prairie outshot Rapids 37-25, but Lincoln got the victory. This week, Rapids has a pair of home contests at home, as they will take on Pacelli tomorrow, and Thursday, Marshfield will pay a visit. And in the conference standings, real quickly for Valley Hockey, Spash is 7-0, Everest 6-2, Wausau West 5-2, Rapids 3-4, East Merrill 1-7, and then Marshfield 0-7. So that's some of the sports that's been taking place right now. And then after our break, Laura's going to come in and talk a little bit more local sports for us with that powerlifting as well.
Looking forward to that. And really do appreciate the coverage, Randy. When it comes to the game tonight, and again, Randy and Mike and Laura are going to be covering over on 105.5 WIRI at 6:50. Port Edwards boys hosting Northern Lutheran. Anything to you, Randy, that stands out about this game that you're looking forward to seeing?
I think I saw in the box score that Max Michaels was back. He was out a couple of games with illness, so it's going to be interesting to see him back because he's one of their top scorers, so that'll just give him another threat. Looking forward to that. And Northland Lutheran's got a young squad. Both teams not real tall. I think Northland Lutheran's got a kid like 6'2". Port Edwards, maybe 6'1", is their tallest. So it should be a good matchup that way size-wise, and I guess we'll see how that plays out. Should be a fun ball game.
Looking forward to it. Going to be listening in. Thank you so much for hanging out with us, partner. Always good to hang out with you, man.
Yeah, thanks a lot for having me.
Do want to also send a shout out to Michael and the coverage over the weekend of the River Kings. Nice work by him and the team here running the board and everything. We appreciate all the work by being done by everybody, Seth and Laura and everybody working so hard behind the scenes to make these games on the air for you. We are looking forward to bringing you more action too. And catch the game tonight, everybody. Just head on over to our sister station, 105.5 WIRI, Port Edwards Boys, hosting Northern Lutheran. Randy, Mike, and Laura on the call for you. And keep in mind as well, WXCO will be having Assumption Girls Basketball versus Marathon. That'll be at 7 o'clock. You can listen to that on the app if you like.
That's a makeup game because that one was postponed, so that's why they're playing tonight and tomorrow against Rhinelander.
Real quick, Assumption Girls this season.
Oh, they're number 3 in state. Ooh. And just that one loss to Pacelli in overtime. And you know, that one's going to be a good one the second time around as well. And I think, if I remember hearing correctly, those two teams could meet in the sectional semifinals. So...
I tell you, when the Bulls aren't any good, or even if the Bucks aren't doing that much or anything like that, when people talk about like, oh, football's over, what is there to talk about? Assumption Girls continue to give us something to talk about throughout the whole winter. Throughout this whole entire run, it's always a lot of fun.
Yeah, just think, we got Rapids Wrestling who's doing very well, and then we're going to have high school basketball playoffs are going to kick off, and then once those wrap up, it's going to be time for NCAA tournament, and then it'll be spring. And we'll be talking about the rafters.
We got plenty of sports to talk. We ain't going to miss football at all. We'll be fine. We will miss you, though, Randy. We'll be hearing you a little bit later. Thanks so much for joining us, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
We'll be back with more Playmakers coming up right here. Brought to you proudly by Quality Post Printing, getting your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids and WFHR. Welcome back, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers. Got your host, James, here. Laura's going to join us in a little bit, give us an update on the powerlifting tournament that took place this weekend. Looking forward to getting that coverage for you. As we're hanging out, let's go ahead and take some calls, 715-424-2600. Feel free to call up and join the conversation. Love to talk to all of you. Got some news and notes we can get to in the meantime. The Lions are working to hire the Broncos' John Morton as their offensive coordinator, sources are saying. Just one of those news and notes that are coming out of the NFL team offseason. Certainly a nice hire for them. And really, again, as we talked about on Friday's show and everything, while the Lions are losing pieces here and there, I would feel pretty confident if I was a Lions fan. And you got the piece that matters. Dan Campbell is still there. And the pieces that you bring in, you got to think, of course, he's going to bring in pieces that, adapt to that culture, to the way they play, the grit that they play with. Also noteworthy, the New York Jets coach Aaron Glenn and new GM Mogi, they're non-committal on Aaron Rodgers and if he's going to be playing for the Jets next season or not. To the point as well, Aaron Rodgers has been pretty gray about if he's going to play as well. I don't mean to be have this be triggering for Packer fans, as you are used to this, not just with Aaron Rodgers, but with Brett Favre. The positive is you don't have to worry about this. You're years away from this with Jordan Love. No, Jordan Love does seem like a different cat, doesn't he? Like I don't feel like I say all this, and you could replay this in 5 or 6 years if you want. When I'm wrong, if I'm wrong, but I don't feel like you're going to be dealing with a lot of the things that you have dealt with Favre or Rodgers that you're going to deal with Jordan Love. Doesn't seem like it, at least. But it is going to be interesting to see what happens if Aaron Rodgers is going to continue to play. What I think is more interesting is not just if he plays and where he might play, but what his next act is. I think that's going to be fascinating to see what happens, whether we like him or not. going to be seeing and going to be interesting. I thought that it was an interesting weekend for Laura, who is, of course, joining us right now to talk a little bit powerlifting, a topic that we don't get to talk nearly enough on the air.
Correct.
But one thing I want to get to real quick, Laura, and Laura knows this because not only have we talked for years here, but you have to, you not have to, I said that. Part of your job is podcasting the morning show and our midday magazines.
Mm-hmm.
You do an amazing job at it, and I always like to note this because we don't get a chance to note these things much to the audience. So Laura working really hard behind the scenes for us and also running the board for our, producing our sports for us as well. I say all this because Laura has to hear me talk more than most human beings should have to.
Mm-hmm.
It's a shame, and I feel for you. I don't know if they pay you enough for that, but you know how I work and how I interview. And one of my favorite questions, one of my first questions is usually an origin story.
Sure.
So Laura, I think to an average listener, they'd be like, why is she talking powerlifting?
Right.
Where did this come from? Did we just grab this off of the out of the ether? Like, hey, Laura, how about you cover this too, along with all the other things we're asking you to do?
Right.
But you got a history with this.
I do. I am from Nisida. I am a high school graduate from Nisida. And that means that not only do I know what powerlifting is, but the chances are pretty likely that I took part in it, which I did. I started powerlifting in eighth grade. I did not do it my senior year, but I did do it for 4 years. I have, since my graduation, also coached powerlifting for a couple of years in Toma, and now I get to cover it in sports because I'm passionate about it, and no one else is covering it.
Right on, right on. You know, I appreciate Randy, Michael, and you and the coverage that you guys are doing between the three of you. There's so much high school sports. There's so many teams, so many athletes, so many sports just in general. There's no way we'd be able to cover it all. We are looking, and I've talked to Phil about this a little bit too. Phil has a real tie-in with tennis, local tennis around here, and covering that more too.
Mm-hmm.
So as we go along here with Playmakers, and we've got these 2 extra hours to play with, we're going to try to do this. Laura, did you enjoy yourself? Did you have a fun time this week?
Yeah. It was a great time. It was a really successful meet. Coach Mock was able to pull off another spectacular meet, but this time in a little bit of a different setting. I want to make sure that I shout out Nisida High School for all, and Nisida Powerlifting specifically, especially the Mock family, for all the work that they put into pulling it off every year.
Fantastic, Laura. That's all the time we have for powerlifting. No, I'm joking. I'm sorry.
I know there's no camera, but you can imagine the face I just gave him. Take your time with it.
Please continue.
And in addition to shouting them out for pulling it off, I just want to make a point in saying, in the past, Nisida Powerlifting was able to use the full-size gym for this meet, but for a reason that I have not yet understood, despite asking a few people, they were not able to use the full-size gym. They were forced into a much smaller multi-purpose room, and we're talking about a K-12 school district, so it's a small building. Everything's small. The multi-purpose room is no exception. And they did it, and it was successful, and everyone was safe, and everything was fine. But man, it would have been nice if we were in a bigger gym with more seating and more room.
It's a good note. That's a good note.
That said, There's a really impressive team of lifters coming out of Wisconsin Rapids, and I want to make sure the town is aware of it. I didn't only cover Wisconsin Rapids, of course. I paid attention to some other area lifting teams. Adam's Friendship put a really good showing out there as well. They have more equipped lifters compared to raw lifters. That's a subject that I think I will cover in some articles in the future. I think I'm going to be working starting tomorrow on a series to cover the powerlifting season this year, but it's going to include a couple of introductory articles to kind of explain what is a powerlifting and what is a powerlifting meet and how does one do a powerlifting. And so I feel like those are important points to make.
Powerlifting for dummies?
Is it? I'm not going to call it that, but if you would like to refer to it as such, you're welcome to.
I appreciate it. As a dummy, I will wholeheartedly say that. Yes, yes.
Fair enough.
As somebody who wants to learn the sport, too, more.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot of people, I think we've caught it during the Olympics and things, but I don't think that, unfortunately, it feels like one of those sports where we don't see enough and hear enough coverage of, except for when something crazy happens, whether it's a world record being broken or somebody being broken.
Well, and the thing thing about powerlifting is that Olympic powerlifting is not the same as the powerlifting that is being done in high school gymnasiums on Saturday mornings.
As a point to me being a dummy, because you informed me of that, and I didn't know that until you were telling me that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the most basic way to explain it is it's an individual competition, as in you are the only one doing the work, the lifter. And so as a spectator, what you're going to see is more than one, they're called platforms, but more than one spot where a weight class will be. Each lifter will have the opportunity to lift the most weight they can in three times for three different events. And those events are squat and then bench and then deadlift. Again, the lifter gets three opportunities to lift the most they can for that. And the goal is to lift more than the other people who weigh as much as you and to qualify for state so that you can go to state and try and lift more than the people that weigh the same as you.
Yeah. Oh, I appreciate that breakdown. And you did it so well, even I understand.
Good.
Even I get it.
I did try and make it as simple as possible. For such a, it's a very complicated thing. There's a lot of parts and pieces. And, you know, if I'm watching a kid do a deadlift and I call it a beautiful lift, what does that mean? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, those are things that I'm going to kind of expand on in the articles. This kind of isn't the format for that.
One thing before we get to some of the numbers that you have and everything and the information from you over the weekend.
Sure.
One thing I don't know, maybe this is, maybe this isn't difficult for you to explain or say. What is it about the sport that made you fall in love with it that you really like and still to the point where you still want to cover it?
It was the first thing that I did that gave a very insecure eighth grade girl confidence. And as someone who, as an adult, has also coached this sport, I have seen it happen to other student athletes in the same way. Powerlifting is a great place for maybe bigger kids who don't know their own strength, to, you know, especially a heavier girl, of which I was. And, you know, you walk into a weight room, and when you walk in the first time, you're just the fat girl, but you walk out feeling strong, feeling like you can accomplish something. And, you know, especially if you go to a powerlifting meet and you do well there, I mean, you go out feeling like something, you know, and that's worth having.
See, now that's something that the numbers can't tell us. And I appreciate you sharing that. And I think that any parent out there who may have a young lady like that in their house or something like that.
Or even a boy. Let's be real.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, absolutely.
There is nothing as fun to me as watching the bigger boys really put on a show. And truly, your 275-plus power lifter, Landon Leach, man, does he put on a good show. He got first place. He didn't qualify for state yet, but man, was it a good show.
One of the better performances you saw over the weekend, or can you name some of the others that you saw?
So for me, it's about form. And so if a kid's got like exceptional form on the lifts that they get, you can tell. And that's, to me, what made Landon's performance so fun to watch. But I do have a lot of kids from Rapids and a few from Adam's Friendship that I did want to highlight. I want to just off the bat apologize to all the JV lifters. I just didn't have the time to cover you guys by name. But I just want to shout out all the JV lifters, especially those who placed, took home medals, qualified for state, because you can qualify for state as a JV lifter. And so, you know, shout out to all you guys. You did spectacular. But I'm going to cover the varsity lifters on this. Where would you like me to start?
Oh, at local.
Okay. That's what I did.
That's all I had. That's all. Okay. Nothing on that.
So I guess we'll start with the girls. There are two different categories of lifter. There is equipped and then there is raw. Equipped means that they have a compression suit, a compression cert, or a compression shirt for benching, that kind of thing. Wisconsin Rapids does not have equipped lifters. However, Adam's Friendship does. And I'm going to take a moment to shout out the Adam's Friendship equipped lifters first. So the girls equipped varsity 148 pound weight class, Naomi Lucas, she got first place and she qualified for state with a total out of her three lifts of 775. And for boys equipped varsity 132, Brandon Manthe got first place. He also qualified. 875 was his total. Boys equipped varsity 275 plus. This is all out of Adam's Friendship still. Christian Ferge, first place. He qualified with a total of 1435. And the 242 weight class, again, this is equipped varsity. Jacob Cortez, he also got first place, but he did not qualify for state. And then we'll move to the raw varsity lifters from Rapids, starting with the girls. The girls raw varsity 132 weight class lifter, Michelle Tra, truly an impressive lifter. I can't wait to get a chance to talk with her and like have some sound bites with her. She placed first. She qualified for state with a total of 620. Girls raw 148, Veronica Candler. She placed second. She didn't qualify for state, but her total was a very respectable 540. 165 girls raw varsity, Annabelle Ross, first place. She qualified with a total of 655. Lily Kropidlowski, and I'm going to apologize to everyone for their names. girls raw varsity 181 pound weight class, she placed first and she did not qualify for state, but she lifted 510 pounds. Girls raw varsity 198 lifter, Ellie Rippler, also placed first. She qualified for state with a total of 635. And then girls raw varsity 242, Ainsley Kuklinski, first place, qualified for state with a total of 865. I want to take 1 minute to shout out one JV lifter specifically, because he was the only lifter there representing Assumption High School. So shout out to Gabe Hawk. I'm hoping your name is pronounced. Either way, you were seen and appreciated. Good job, dude. And I believe, I could be wrong, but Gabe appeared to be injured when he was up on that podium getting his first place medal for JV. So I don't know if we're going to be seeing him back this season or not. So huge shout out to Gabe. You did great. You were seen. And now the boys raw varsity from Rapids. We've got six boys here, all of whom placed in the top three. So we're just going to go on down the list. So boys raw varsity 148, Michael Mitchell, first place. He did not qualify for state, but he lifted 910 pounds. Boys raw varsity 165, James Weicker, or Weaker. I'm sorry, James. And to your mother and grandmother, who were so very kind to me at the powerlifting meet. James placed third. He did not qualify for state, though, but has a total of 915 from the day. Richard Tau, boys raw varsity 181. He placed second, and he did qualify for state with a total of 1130. He's also one to watch. Man, was he an impressive kid.
Yeah, I was going to say,
too.
He stood out to you.
He sure did. He was really fun to watch. He was a little intense, but still fun to watch. Boys raw varsity 220, Wyatt Jungworth, or Youngworth, again, sorry to everybody for your names. He placed first, but he did not qualify for state, but he lifted 970, still a great total. Boys raw varsity 275, Elias Heckman, first place, qualified for state with a total of 1310. And Landon Leach, shout out again to Landon. He was my most fun to watch of the meet, if you ask me. He did not qualify for state, but he placed first in boys raw varsity 275 plus with a total lifted of 1,075 pounds.
Nice work. Nice work. Can I share something with the audience and let them look behind the curtain a little bit? Laura worked so hard on this weekend. She worked just diligently on her notes and putting everything together. And then, of course, it's not here.
Nope. Not only is it not here, but when I called my kids to look for it and like text me a picture of it, it is missing. I had to completely redo my notes while James and Randy were chatting.
And you knocked it out. That was great. That was awesome. I can't wait for more of this, more coverage of this, and to really, you know, be able to hopefully celebrate this sport a little bit more, mm-hmm. while also encouraging younger kids out there and parents to get their kids involved in it and everything.
Absolutely.
We know we got to let you go because you got a game to cover. We want you to be able to get ready for that and everything. Laura will be working the board for us, producing our Port Edwards boys basketball game tonight versus Northern Lutheran. 6:50 our start time will be for that. Looking forward to it. Appreciate the work, Lauren. Really appreciate the coverage and bringing this to our show here. We're looking forward to more and more coverage as we go forward. Thanks.
Thank you.
Nice work. We will take our final time out of the show, come back, and hopefully take some phone calls. I don't know why you guys are so quiet. Is it because it's a Monday? What is it? Give us a call. Is it something I said? It's something I said, isn't it? Call up on the show. We're looking forward to talking with you. We'll come back with more Playmakers, brought to you proudly by Quality Post Printing, getting your words out right here in Wisconsin Rapids. Welcome back, everybody, to WFHR's Playmakers. Got about 5 minutes left to show. We'd like to fill it with your phone calls, 715-424-2600. Want to thank Randy and Laura for joining us today. It's been a lot of fun. Great show. Good work, everybody. Nice Monday show. Do have some notes to get to before we wrap up. Certainly going to talk about our schedule as well. For those that did not hear, just saw an interesting one here. A couple of interesting notes, actually. For one, there was a tweet that went viral about Bob Uecker. And this person, and it actually came from the Bob Uecker account. Bob Uecker says, I propose that a 200 batting average be referred to as the Uecker line from now on. This is a grassroots thing. This is maybe not anything official ever, but I think that from now on, I think somebody's batting 200, that should be the Uecker line. And I think Bob would get a. I think every time we say it, Bob will smirk. I like that. I thought that was pretty good. I also wanted to touch on a couple of other things that I thought was pretty interesting. Kansas City Chiefs, Philadelphia Eagles in the Super Bowl. We're seeing this all over again. It's a repeat. I find it kind of funny. I don't blame anybody at all for having fatigue of the Chiefs. I actually have more fatigue of the Eagles than the Chiefs, but I get people having fatigue of either of these. Nobody likes a repeat, really, in sports, especially in the biggest game and the last game of the season. I think all of that is fair. One thing I find kind of funny, though, and I mean genuinely like I'm laughing at, is when I hear people talk about conspiracy stuff. I laugh at this no differently than I laugh at flat earthers, or I laugh at any other like kind of crazy conspiracy stuff. I'm all for questioning everything. I think that's important in life, and I don't think you just take what's handed to you, no matter what, no matter who's saying it. And so I don't mind the questions, but I do find it interesting that some people that I consider to be very intelligent genuinely can believe this stuff. Did the Kansas City Chiefs get a lot of calls? Yes. Yeah, they did. They got a lot of things go their way. They have a lot over the last couple of years. That's how championships are won. What is one of the oldest phrases in all of sports, no matter what the sport we're playing? Home cooking. Well, the Chiefs have been playing at home a lot, so they've been getting a lot of home cooking. I don't think that's very surprising. You can look up the stat yourself. Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, nobody over the last 3-4 years have gotten more roughing the passer calls than those two. So that plays into it too. And luck plays into it too. So those are all factors I agree with. But the idea that thousands and thousands of people in 2025 are working together to pull off these hoaxes and make it so that the Chiefs are in the Super Bowl and the NFL has a repeat? Like, how many people out there are rushing to their TVs for repeats? You think that's what the NFL wanted? A rerun. And does this conspiracy only work for these things? Did it mean that the NFL also wanted the Packers to win and there was a conspiracy for them to win their championships? I find it interesting that conspiracies only work when it's what you don't like. That seems to be kind of, I don't know, that seems to stand out to me a little bit. I think that what's more noteworthy is seeing greatness. And whether you like it or not, just seeing it happen in front of you. We've never seen anybody get this close to a three-peat in the NFL. Every other three-peat has fallen in the championship game. Nobody's ever made it this far. That's kind of cool to see. We've never seen a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes. It's amazing. And personally, me, I love Steve Spagnuolo. He may be, in fact, I'm ready to say it. He's my favorite coordinator of all time. I thought it was Mouse Davis. I thought maybe even one of the, Buddy Ryan or something. But nah, it's Spags. This guy's a Hall of Famer. Chris Jones believes that the Chiefs will keep winning as long as they keep him from being a head coach somewhere. Speaking of coaching, I did want to shout out Antoine Randell. a Midwesterner, Illinois guy, getting onto the staff of the Bears. So we, forget about, I know you guys don't care about the Bears or like the Bears, but I think we can all get behind a Midwesterner getting a coach for his hometown team. I think that's pretty cool, and we don't get to see that happen very often. And as long as I'm talking about it, did anybody see the Uber Eats commercial with Matthew McConaughey as Mike Ditka? Not only is this the best Ditka has ever looked or sounded or anything like that, but it made me realize we need an 85 Bears biopic movie, and I want McConaughey playing Ditka. I mean, the rest of the casting is going to be difficult, I admit. Good luck casting somebody as William Refrigerator Perry or Walter Payton or something or any of that. But man, I think that'd be an entertaining movie. That'd be a fun movie. And you got McConaughey to star as Ditka? Well, all right, all right. I think that'd be all right. I think that'd be pretty good. Thank you so much for joining us. We will not have a Playmakers on Wednesday, but we do have Wisconsin men's basketball for you taking on Maryland. That'll be great. We'll have the Greg Gard show for you at 6:05 on Thursday. Friday, we will be here for Playmakers. We'll also have Wisconsin hockey for you as it's a puck night. Badgers taking on Minnesota. And we'll have Lincoln taking on Wausau West as basketball over on WIRI. Be good to each other. Have a great night. We'll talk to you on Friday.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.